Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Well, think about this. Who controls your legacy after you're gone? Your written legacy, anyway. Take the example of Willa Cather, a giant of 20th century American literature. She wrote classics like O Pioneers and My Antonia. Now, some experts say Cather expressly forbade the publication of her personal correspondence, her letters. Her wish has largely been respected and enforced by her executors since she died about 70 years ago. But next month, an anthology of those very letters, there's like 500 of them, is set to be published, finally submitting her private life to public scrutiny. So part of Willa Cather's legacy in the form of her letters is being published and pretty much against her will. So what about the rest of us? How can we control our legacies? You're already thinking about it in the age of Facebook and Twitter. Our pictures, our emails, our profiles, they now all exist in digital form. Forget about written letters like Willa Cather's. We're asking you this question. What do you want to happen to your online personalities after you die?
Hi, this is Lynn from Boca Raton, Florida. I would like my Facebook account to be locked privately to my family so they can read anything that they would like. After that, it would be deleted from the system.
Hi, this is Paul in Seattle. I'd like my Facebook and other social media to be available to my kids as an archive, kind of a diary of my daily life. I don't know if they'd find it interesting, but I think they'd find it amusing.
They might find it amusing. Well, in Columbia, South Carolina, a listener writes in to say they want for it to be available for all to see in a kind of social media cemetery. This from Pendleton, Oregon. I want it to be worshipped for all the brilliant and inspiring kitty and dog photos I posted. And, of course, my correct and perfect political contributions. Sort of the internet summed up right there, isn't it? And one listener in Lubbock, Texas writes, I've spent countless hours crafting websites and cultivating an online presence, so I would be grateful if that information were maintained. It's the closest thing to a soul I will leave behind after my body goes. Well, you can tell us what you think at 8778-MY-TAKE. Weigh in on this conversation, because we do want to hear from you, because the question of what happens to our social media life after we die can cause real barriers for families, legal barriers, cultural and technical. Joining us to talk about all this from the studios of WUNC in Durham, North Carolina, Evan Carroll, co-author of Your Digital Afterlife. Evan, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, when you hear the story of Willa Cather, who had 500 letters written in paper, that's the easy part. They're in a box somewhere, or a vault, or a safe deposit box, I guess, and people can fight over them. Facebook posts, Twitter posts, something on your hard drive can be a lot different.
That's correct. The interesting thing about digital assets is that we don't have that access to them the same way we would have access to them in a box, in a closet. So, for instance, we have various assets that are stored on our computers, and those might be secured by a password. Perhaps more difficult are those that are stored on the internet or in the cloud, if you will. And those that would require us to know that the account exists, so we have an awareness problem, but also be able to access that account. So we have a problem with the usernames and passwords and making sure that we're able to get into those. And then there's also some legal questions about, do our heirs actually have the rights to access those digital accounts?
Right. So we had one listener who said, well, I would just like for my kids to be able to see it because they get a kick out of it. We had another person say, I'd like for it to be available in kind of a social media cemetery. Those are kind of funny quips, but in fact, the law is kind of complicated in this way. Unless, for instance, that one listener gave his kids his passwords, they would have a hard time viewing his Facebook profile, let's say, after he died.
That's exactly right. And so whenever you sign up for any of these services, let's say Facebook, for example, you enter into a terms of service with Facebook. And in the case of Facebook, their policy states that you really have two options once you're gone. Your family can request that your profile be deleted, or they can request that it be put in a memorialized state. And once it's in a memorialized state, some of the information is removed, and you cannot gain any new friends to that account. Only your existing friends can see that content. And then finally, the credentials, the username and password to that account no longer work. So for our listener who wants to have it only accessible to his kids, as it currently states, that's not an option for him unless he gives them his password, and then they can download the information and then choose to close the account. But the important thing to note here is that, you know, Facebook's terms say you shouldn't give that username and password to them, although many legal scholars believe that if you're giving that password to your legal executor, they are not violating that those terms. Rather, they are acting on your behalf, and so that should be considered within the terms.
Now, I have seen you write in other places that it's important, actually, you mentioned executors, it's important not to put usernames and passwords in your will, because a will is a public document. You do that, and I can find it from pretty much anywhere.
That's absolutely correct. So the best thing for you to do in that situation is create a memorandum, a document that lives separate of your will. And you can do this digitally, although you should realize that folks will need to gain access to it. Or you can do it on paper, keep it in a file drawer, and write down your most common usernames and passwords, things that you would like for your family to access. And then have a conversation with them. Let them know where they can find that document. And if you want to make sure that it's included in your will, you can also reference that document in your will without expressly putting those passwords in there, because we don't want to run the risk of allowing any and everyone to gain access to your accounts.
Now, we've been talking about Facebook, of course. There are about 30 million Facebook accounts that belong to dead people, as I understand it, Evan Carroll. But I'm thinking about other forms of online legacy. My tweets are public, I guess. I've written thousands of emails to people, sent pictures, we text back and forth. We're talking about Facebook that's password protected, but really, I'm kidding myself, right? Because if I die tomorrow, there's a huge amount of my online life that's just going to be public, and there's nothing I can do about it.
That is correct. Now, there are situations where you could ask for certain accounts to be deleted, but as individuals often say, once it's on the internet, it's permanent. And they are correct to the degree that you cannot control what happens to it. However, we should also realize that just because we think of the internet as permanent, that does not mean the internet is actually permanent. It would be very easy for various companies to go out of business and suddenly those websites are no longer online, and perhaps your tweets or your photographs might be gone. So it's important to make sure you leave access to them so the next generation can gain them. The good news about Twitter is the Library of Congress is keeping an archive of all public tweets right now, so
great.
You're safe in the library.
Because all of them are really worth keeping, right, Evan Carroll? All those tweets.
Well, you know, it's interesting because from a personal standpoint, they may be of interest to your family and to your – and certainly as a radio personality like you, they might be interesting in that respect as well.
Maybe.
But but as a larger set of information about our society, you know, it could be that in – you know, hundreds of years, people of the future will look back upon our tweets, and that will be how they, you know, sort of understand us, a digital archaeology of sorts.
My final thought, Evan Carroll, this all just makes me think, you know, people who go off online screeds, the comment section, the trolls on the internet, they're often anonymous, but not always. Kind of makes me think twice before you scream on the internet, because people are going to read it after you die.
That's absolutely the case. You know, I like to say that when the things you want to have preserved are likely the things that won't be preserved, and the things that you don't want preserved are likely the things that will stick around. So it's important to take some efforts to shore up your legacy.
And that right there was the perfect tweet, what you just said. We'll leave it there with Evan Carroll, co-author of Your Digital Afterlife. Evan, thank you so much.
Thank you.